Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is Paulette Young, your host, along with Selena Lindsay. We're going to give you the latest coronavirus update. These are some of the questions you should ask yourself. Can anyone get the virus? How do you know who has the virus? Are there enough tests for the virus for everyone? Who should be tested? Is there a shortage of tests for the public? Why should you stay home? Can children get this virus? Join us tonight on American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. Your host, Paulette Young, speaking now. All you have to do is call 858-769-4936. And if you want to speak, press 1. Just remember to, if you're going to have noise in the background, mute. And if you want to talk, just press 1. Okay, where are we now? In the past, we gave some low numbers. I remember New York in the beginning, few cases occurred. Washington, second death and all of that. And now the numbers are so high. I remember there was a time globally they said 3,401 deaths. Now we're way past that. I remember in the United States, they said 89 confirmed tests. Cases. Now we're way past those numbers. In L.A. County alone, I think they had already hit the 10,000 mark. And if you have more tests, you find out that those numbers are even higher. That's why they're looking to do a lot of tests this week. And, of course, the numbers aren't going to be where we want them to be. In the beginning, we stated that on previous broadcasts, we talked about China, Wuhan, or however you say that, where it's supposed to have started, and now it's a global pandemic. In the United States, they didn't use the word pandemic till the middle of March. On our previous broadcast, we had already stated that it was that pandemic. We're basing it off of a professor, Dr. Laura Phillips. She had a book that was written 2 years ago, that's all. And she said, it's that pandemic, you'll see. And that was beginning of February because we, I guess, didn't know enough about it. Some of the researchers had already began to study it. And by the time it's, you know, we realized what was happening, I won't say it's too late, but at least you're doing your best to try and do something about it now. Okay, Selena Lindsay's on the line. Selena, you want to go ahead and start talking? Go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot to be said in terms of what we're seeing because it's obvious we're not ready. And they have no idea. This changes. Not only are these things happening, but it brings about a new way of life. There's when you see the stock market, fall so quickly that within 15 seconds they push a button and just stop it because it goes into a straight spiral to the ground. And not only happen 1 or 2 days, but day after day after day. And then it's what we call a whole new normal. You don't go in the grocery store anymore. Now your favorite grocer is standing behind a plastic shield. Some of the things that we incorporated, we should have learned something from some of the states and some of the countries that already were dealing with this. Apparently, our country, although we're number one in the world, we seem to be, I would say, number four, number five in terms of being able to enact doing something actively to slow this thing down. And as we play catch up, you know, they're finally getting around to the argument of who wears a mask and who doesn't. These are silly things. They're also playing political games. A new normal is when you go to a grocery store and you have to stand 6 feet apart. A new normal is understand that you need to stay home. That means you can't go to church unless they're practicing the rules, because We want to keep everyone safe. And this is no time to play. There are new things going on when you find out that even the mortician doesn't have his doors open. And that things change on that end because there are things we don't even want to think about. What do you do with a Corona 19 body? And in other countries like Haiti and the Honduras, they're already at capacity. And they're starting to pile up in the streets. And so this is nothing to laugh at, nothing to play with. And talking about finger pointing, who should have did what, that's not going to make it. New things on a lighter note are happening. This evening they're discussing a breakthrough, which I'm not all 100% with the great breakthrough because, as we well know, that when you come up with a vaccine, you have a certain amount of days, and they had a reason for that, so that they again save lives. They don't rush to judgment and just start giving people something that they don't know a lot about. However, there is a drug out there that's been around a long time. They're not exactly sure. It works for a couple of things, and they think this is something that they can use since it's something that's been already used. But to use something new, the new something that they have is about the size of a postage stamp, and it has about 15 needles in it. And once you stick it onto your arm, then those little needles will just disappear into your body, and they carry with it an inoculation against the Corona 19. So along with this has also come innovation. I believe you're starting to see where individuals are starting to make masks. They're starting to make helmets. Innovation with people that use scarves and some things that we need to talk about because a lot of people seem to get what I call a safe sense of security, and they fail to understand those little scarves and things, and it just helps protect. It doesn't necessarily protect you from the outside, especially if it doesn't have carbon or anything in it. But one of the things that the cities would like for you to do is to at least it helps protect if you're sneezing, you know, you have things going on, protect others from you. Some of the problems that they're having is because, again, it always goes back to we're slow, we don't have enough masks, we don't have enough ventilators. And they finally got down to brass tacks and said, well, we're trying to locate hospital beds. As we watch, they're starting to convert in Los Angeles, the convention center. They're beginning to take over hotels. And one of the things that both me and Paulette applaud is the fact that they should have done something a long time ago, but at least they're getting the homeless off the streets. A lot of this is disturbing. And some of the things that even disturb me is, what are our children thinking? Because I have an aunt that went through the situation in 1933. And she was affected way into the 70s and the 90s because she was carrying around grocery in the trunk of her car. She was afraid that she wouldn't be able to find food. And I'm seeing some of the same look in some of the people that are fighting for toilet paper, canned goods, and some things have come home to roost because even the food banks are having a drive to replenish supplies because nobody anticipated. It seems to think this was sort of playtime. Nobody anticipated that this would take so long. They thought it would be like a baseball game. You know, we go to the baseball game, the game would be over, wouldn't everybody go back to business as usual? This just does not seem to be working that way. What do you think, Paulette?
Well, what I'm looking at, you know, I know where we started, and I asked the question, can anyone get the virus? Because some people think they can't get anyone. Yes, old people seem like they're more vulnerable. And they look like they've done a lot of work with these nursing. home. They find a few of them, then they test all of them, and they find the majority of them have the virus. If you have a fever, you're coughing, shortness of breath, you need to call someone, call to get advice, call your doctor. Don't just sit there and treat yourself at home. Don't touch your face. Wear a mask, homemade mask, whatever. Clean and disinfect surfaces. Now, everyone should use masks. In the beginning, remember, the update for this is now everybody should use the mask, because in the beginning, everyone wasn't using the mask. But now they're telling you, make the homemade stuff. If anybody remembers back in the day, you used to see older people always putting scarves and things around their nose, mouth, and ears so they wouldn't get sick. But they're telling us we can be sick already and not know it, so it's to keep our germs from going anywhere. But I say vice versa, because I have one friend from high school. She said if she doesn't wear that scarf around her, this is way before the coronavirus, if she didn't wear that scarf and stuff around her nose, she was always getting sick. So she started doing that, and she found the sickness stopped. They're telling you to, if when you're using the disinfect, it should be 70% alcohol or bigger. In the beginning, we had said last month and the month before to avoid traveling, stay home, and they're telling you that, stay home. The update, again, is it is airborne. Before, they said it wasn't. Now they have enough testing to see that, yes, it is airborne. You have an incubation period, up to 14 days. That's why they're quarantine you for that amount of time. And look what's happening in the United States. The numbers of deaths have jumped to, I think it was 10,000 was the last count. And they're looking, because they're going to be doing a lot of mass testing shortly, and that's going to make a difference in the numbers so we can see where things are. The problem also is the ones that are asymptomatic, they're not tested, but they do tell them to stay home. They're telling us all to isolate. Period. And we do have something called, some of you are familiar with, it's called the DPA, the Defense Production Act. And they passed that in like 1950. President Trump can order private companies to produce and expedite production of certain essential items that are much needed, like the ventilators, the mask, and other essential medical resources. This is not about Democrats or Republicans. This is about we all have to pull together. This is a disease that can take all of our lives if we don't do something about it, or our loved ones' lives. We have to pull together. Thank God they have that act. And I know that I've been reading different things, you know, the complaints saying that enough isn't being done and so forth. But I do know on the inside, I know a person that's working for a major company, and President Trump did talk with the CEO. They're in the process of making more things, and that's what he's doing. He's telling you we need more, and he's going after all these different sectors that can make stuff, have them go ahead and, you know, make agreement to do just that. Nissan in Mississippi and Tennessee just furloughed, 10,000 of their workers, but just through the 27th of April. I want to say, are you kidding me? Do you think we're going to be done by the 27th of April? I don't think so. Okay, well, and some of you still don't understand the symptoms. Fever, cough, sneezing, shortness of breath, breathing difficulties. You can, in severe cases, you end up with pneumonia or what they call acute respiratory syndrome and possibly death. And this can appear within 2 days to 14 days. That's why you got that 14-day thing. They said most people have mild disease and recover. Presently, doctors determine if you should be tested or not. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but they're the ones that say you can be tested. Somebody in authority has to say yay, nay. Is it possible in the beginning when you test, you can test and be negative, and a few days later you test positive? And, you know, there's still so much we're still learning about this disease. Anyone can be at risk. That's why they want us to stay home. Just stay home so we can get these numbers down. If you're older and you have pre-existing problems, you can become severely ill and die. If you think you have coronavirus, call your health professional. Say something. Don't just sit there treating yourself like you would a common cold. Don't do that. It's going to be good for anyone. You need to know what's going on with your body. Some people complain they can't breathe. You can't breathe. You got a sore throat, congestion, aches and pains, runny nose, any of those things. Or you've been around someone that's been diagnosed. You have to, you know, let those health providers know that. Because if you've been around them, you probably picked up the germ too. Maybe, maybe not. So in your household, you've got to start practicing good, safe preventive measures. You know for a fact it can stay on, it can be on a can that you picked up from the store. I see people wiping down everything. It can be in that dollar that they just handed you. I mean, paper, it can stay alive. All of these things. They're just saying wipe things down. So if someone is sick in your house, avoid close contact with them. They're gonna have to isolate themselves in your very house. Stay home if you're sick. Don't go out there. Cover your mouth when you're sneezing and coughing. You gotta, in your house or workplace, you gotta clean the following things. Like your tables, doorknobs, countertops, light switches, handles on cabinets, using soap and water or like detergent. My daughter said in her house they even started cleaning the fan. So it may seem funny, but hey, you got to do whatever it takes. That there's too much we still don't know. Researchers have coronavirus. One book that my professor showed me for the last 2 years. There is no vaccine yet. It may take up to, I know Trump team even stated that it may take up to 18 months. So if you see contaminated surface and then you touch your face, your eyes or nose or mouth, then you can get it. And that's what you don't want to do. Some of the places are at what they call level 3, Iran, Korea, are two of the places that claim that are at level 3. Even though I think it was recorded 100,000 patients a day is being tested for the coronavirus, the public health labs are limited. They're full to capacity. There's still a shortage of your masks, gowns, and ventilators, and et cetera. Lots of prayers for those that love to pray. It may help. Something better than not praying at all. But donate to all these different organizations that are asking for funds. Everyone is doing their part, best that they can. You still have the crazies that are going out. They got old people. They're finding them still in the stores and doing all the things they normally did. Where family needs to step up and help them, find out what their needs are so that they're not in those stores. Because if they die from this thing, you'll be sorry. Some of them, they may not be reaching out to you. Reach out to them. You know their age and their condition. Reach out to them. Go help them. But they did one report that showing that they're still shopping. You know, like this is normal. And it's not normal. We have to do the best. I have a couple of people on the line. If you want to go ahead and jump in and say something, you're welcome to it.
Yes, yes, Paulette, thank you very much for taking my call. This is Mike from Singapore. And absolutely everything you say is 500% true. But the New York doctor, which treated all these patients, it came to a conclusion that COVID-19 lung disease, as far as he can see, is not pneumonia and should not be treated as one. Rather, it appears if some kind of viral-induced disease, most resembling high altitude sickness. Is it if tens of thousands of fellow New Yorkers are on the plane 30,000 feet at the cabin pressure is slowly being let out. These patients are slowly being starved of oxygen. So he recommends that ventilators, I think they have a couple of different modes, like mode 1, mode 2, mode 3, or something like that. He says instead of using it for the maximum, you know, because they putting more pressure on the lungs and expand the lungs of the patients more than usual, and that's where the problem arises, and many people actually die under ventilators. He says that they should use it like, you know, module first to give more oxygen to them. I mean, the way that they put it into their system. And so it's easy, you know, lungs, it should not be, you know, put too much pressure on it and expand it at the same time. Go ahead, Paula.
What about they started, I remember there was one case, I'm not sure if that's done on a regular basis, where they have the patient laying flat on their face, inverse the other way. We're having a better recovery rate. So is that, you know,
yes, absolutely.
Most of us sleep on our back. We don't sleep on our stomach. And they were saying that it was better that they slept on their stomach versus the back.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a possibility. Yes.
What you said, well, would a hyperbaric chamber work better?
Whatever it is, it's oxygen deprivation syndrome, or whatever it is, oxygen doesn't get mixed with hemoglobin, and then it goes to the system of that person. So it's a lack of oxygen deficiency is much more better diagnosis than they say pneumonia and or other diseases that they want to put on it. But yeah, absolutely.
It's working.
It's the oxygen deficiency.
Okay, with that in mind, so is it working more like a carbon monoxide poisoning? Because you know how they have to give 100% oxygen to get the carbon monoxide off of the, so that the hemoglobin will pick up the oxygen because you're taking the lower. See, I don't know. I don't know enough physiology, and I think they're still studying stuff with this. So, you do end up with a lack of oxygen. That is a problem. That is why they die.
Absolutely.
But, so right now they're still saying pneumonia, and I hear what you're saying. You're saying it's not pneumonia. So then if it's not pneumonia, then they're not being treated right.
Then I don't understand why. You're right. And I don't understand why they want to use a generic of medications. Usually doesn't work anyway, of anti-malaria. Anti-malaria, I mean it's like if a person has a cancer and they use anti-malaria tablets for his or her cancer. That's out of range anyway, out of question.
Because you're pulling, I think we're pulling for straws, period. Just this, we don't know what's going to work. And there was a gentleman that did work on, but then there was no guarantee, say, across the board for everybody. Because then you had the husband that died and the wife got sick from using that same stuff. But they weren't treating themselves. No physician told them to do what they did. They did that on their own, which I would never want to go against medical advice. You know, you would have to be up under a physician to even try something new. Somebody would have to monitor you. So right now, and if it's not pneumonia, but it's mimicking pneumonia, it just sounds like we don't know enough. This is one that, you know, before you didn't know that it was airborne. You just said droplets. Then they found, oh, no, it's in the air and it can remain in the air after a sneeze or cough up to, I think it's 3 hours, then or that's the finding from the researchers, up to 3 hours.
You get pneumonia?
Had before. Pardon me? Go ahead, talk. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please. Are you asking me or I mean, the other lady, please go first.
Does someone have a question that's on the line?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, I didn't know.
I didn't
have a question. Sorry.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. I thought you said something about pneumonia.
No, I was reading. I was writing down what you said.
Yeah. So, well, what do you think about a hyperbaric chamber? Those have worked in getting oxygen to the cells and stuff like that, too. I'm not sure. And then it's not for every situation. They definitely don't have enough hyperbaric chambers out there. They don't exist everywhere. Every hospital don't even have them. The only one I know that even have them is Long Beach. They're not
I think on what the doctor is saying, because a lot of what I've read and what I do know about about respiratory therapy is it's a lot like cystic, what they call cystic fibrosis. And virtually what happens is, the lungs become like sandpaper, and just as the doctor was saying, they can't get enough oxygen down in there. So the main thing they do need to manufacture is what we call volume ventilators, because these people cannot breathe on their own. And if you put them in a hyperbaric chamber, that's not necessarily going to help their lungs and help them be able to breathe better. That's something that they had in their earlier years, that way back in the 60s and things, that they utilized as like a lung, they used to even call it a lung chamber. But what actually works now is what they call a volume ventilator, because of the way that they do things, and those particular ventilators allow them to oxygenate the alveoli, the smallest cell down in the lung, which is the alveoli, 100%. And they're smaller, so they would have more ventilators,
but he's saying that it's not working.
Well,
now, see, I don't.
It's not working. Some things are not working, and there's a lot of reasons that they don't necessarily know what these reasons are. Because I was listening to some other doctors earlier where they sort of had a symposium, and one of the doctors, he kept saying, "This is not what we do," because literally, once they have them on a ventilator for a certain amount of time and it's not working, what they do, because they want to go and save people, is they just take them off for a few minutes and look at their watch and say, okay, let's see what happens, if they're going to be able to breathe on and on. And if not, if they go, then they just mark the time and say, okay, this person expired at XX time, and clean the thing up and move the machine someplace else because they have such a shortage. And, this guy's feeling guilty. But a lot of what they're trying to do, they don't even have, they have such a shortage of also the drugs that they utilize when they're doing that, because basically it does look a lot like what we call pneumonia or fluid in the lung. And how do you get that out? Earlier, what you guys were talking about was virtually laying the patient down, face down, and some of the other things that we used to do, which is what they call postural drainage, so that you could get some of that stuff out, that you turn them at a certain angle, and then that stuff will drain out. And then you would also do percussion, on the back to try to loosen up some of that mucus. But some of the main stuff that they use, they don't have supplies. And everything just keeps taking this 360 back to the fact that we're not ready. They don't have the necessary things that they're doing. And as you said, the president seriously needs to stop playing around and enact the enactment so that these manufacturers can begin to get these supplies together, because it's a lot more than the machine. The machine has to be maintained, and it means you have to autoclave it.
But
so they don't have adequate things to be able to do anything.
I have to correct this, because the president is not playing around. I think the playing around days are gone. This is serious. He is enacting his power to mandate that these private companies begin to mass produce certain things, companies that they didn't even do certain things, and now they are. They weren't even in the building ventilators business, but they can. They know how to fix a broken ventilator, yet that was not their business. They, you know, I can see a concerted effort through all of this stuff where people are pulling together. You ain't going to have no countries nowhere if they don't. We've never had in our history where the countries self are pulling together, because we are all in the same ball game as far as the death. It's taking too many people. Now, I don't know what's happening in Singapore. What's happening over there in Singapore?
Yes, the health of all depends to each one of us. And, you know, the latest updates are, you know, we have 546 in a stable hospitalized, and hospitalized critical are 25. Discharge to isolation is 454, and discharge completely 344, and total deaths are six. So,
okay, let me ask you a question. What is the population for Singapore?
Six and a half million right now.
6.5 million. Oh, so it's like L.A. County here, United States, L.A. County. It's like 10 million people. And you don't want to know how many tests they've done. You haven't even done close to that will match for the 10 million people. So let me ask you a question. What about testing procedure? If you got 6 million people, how many tests have been done?
Okay, the test, you know, first of all, we are in a mandatory right now, shelter in place right now, but they say, you know, if, as you mentioned earlier, if you have cough, you have fever, you have this, et cetera, symptoms, right away go to the nearest clinic, which is always like one block, two blocks away from where you reside, you know. So basically, they have, you know, they take care of you, they do blood tester, they do give you oxygen right away, and then, you know, then they tell you what you need to do. If they find out, I mean, they test you at that time. But, you know, the problem we had, because we were doing so good, because recently we opened the pretty much airlines coming from hotspots like London, like Seoul, South Korea, and many other places, suddenly, and we put our guard down. And that's our fault is. And when you put your guard down, that's where the disease re-emerged in this. And so we are trying to, again, to bring it down, but we shall see. If they stop the, you know, playing the game or somehow, I mean, we know that everybody, they were checked before. Before when they land, they check them thoroughly. They know their address where they live in their respective countries, and they can see if there was major outbreak nearby or not, or did they are high risk, low risk, or medium risk. And so, but still with that, unfortunately, some people they did not have symptoms, so they said, okay, you're free to go, and then suddenly hit our population. But we don't
unless everyone's tested, I don't know how you're going to get those numbers down. Because of the ones that are able to carry it, the asymptomatic ones, that's a problem because they can spread it. They may never get sick, yet they have the virus that contaminates other people. We've never had anything like this on our earth. We just haven't. This is all new for all of us. And I'm surprised you guys didn't close your borders like everybody else.
Yes, I know. Because we are a little bit more liberal here, and unfortunately, also Ben, your city or county hits 245 number. That means you are hot spots.
Yeah.
So 245 is the magic number. So once, so we are hot spots actually in Singapore already because our total are over 1,000 people right now. So basically, we are hot spots as well too. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, but see, when you say 1,000, that's only for the ones that were tested. What about the ones that have not been tested? And that's where that's a huge problem. Because most places don't even have labs that can run like mass amount of tests. It's not set up for that. I don't think anywhere on the globe was it set up for that. So you have to, like, how they're makeshifting. You know, where the people are going to go here in America, you're using the Coliseum, you're putting up tents outside the hospitals. I mean, whatever you can use, you're using. You're using the county fairgrounds. You're using hotels. Instead of the normal people going to the hotel, only the sick ones can go there. I mean, it's a mess. And all we can do is tell people to stay home so those that are well won't become part of the mess. That's all you can do. And, you know, pray for all those that are running the country that they do the right things. And one of the right things I can see on a global basis, researchers on a global basis are exchanging their information. Nobody's rushing to see I'm the first person to discover something like they did with polio, some of the other things. You don't have time for that nonsense. You better pull your resources, and they are pulling resources together and seeing what's working for you. We're doing this. What's working, you know, let's put our heads together. It's not like how they were rushing to the moon and we're going to be the first one to the moon. That type of mentality is not there right now. There's a rush to, we got to save lives on a global basis, not just the United States, all the other countries too, and learning what's working. You know, if your system's working, maybe we better think about doing, you know, what you're doing in order for our system to work too. And we've never had that in the history of the world, yet we have that now because look what's happened. And it's unfortunate Singapore is so liberal because that disease ain't, it's liberal all right, the disease it'll catch anybody, unfortunately. And no, I don't think there was a country set up with the testing part because none of us could see this coming, the mass way it came. I know I have my mentor, Dr. Laura Phillips. She's a microbiologist and virologist. She already said she had already began to study that particular virus, she said, over the last 2 years. She said, here's the book. And she Xeroxed a copy of what the researchers had already begun to look at. She said they waited and shouldn't have waited. And this was at the beginning of February when I met with her for lunch. And she said, we're at pandemic. Our country didn't say pandemic until in March. That's why people end up tapped on ships and airplanes. And I remember her words. She said, right then, this was the beginning of February, she said, you shouldn't fly nowhere. Don't get on nobody's ship. She said, oh, no. She says, not doing this. You got to let this stuff die down before you even think that way. And she was serious. And then what did happen, you saw the borders being closed, people trapped on ships, dying on those ships. And she said the worst place to be isolated was being on a ship. Because you're right there with the germs. She said, you're going to have
absolutely
more deaths. She said, that's no way to quarantine people in the very environment where the stuff is. She said, that's the worst thing you could do. And we saw, and you saw more people come down with death, unfortunately. Because you left them in that, the ones that were well, you left them in the contaminated environment. I remember her words. She said, you can't. quarantine like that. Ones that ain't.
Yes, it's very hard.
They're stuck.
It is very hard to quarantine, especially people are not trained. And, you know, we are in it together. We have an app in Singapore,
yeah.
And then basically, do you remember I read some statistics that some of them are discharged or some of them were told to quarantine, etc. And so they have it. So if they come out of their house and with Bluetooth and with their phones on, immediately they can say, how many people came in contact with that person or close to that person if it's not followed by six feet away. And then we get special messages that then what we need to do next. So, for example, and then they will go take that guy and this time, you know, not only get a ticket because that's it's supposed not to be doing it, and go away from his quarantine or her quarantine. And then on top of it, you know, they give us instruction and we follow the instruction. But here we have masks. Taiwan has a mask. People show their national health card. And then what happens? They get 5 masks every week. So you can go to any pharmacy in Taiwan or Singapore or in Asia pretty much. And you show your card, you get full mask and then gloves as well too. If you don't have it, they give you everything because they know it protects, it minimizes the risk, minimizes the people. And you can see Singapore, how many the information I have it. I mean, the total, you know, active cases 571. Hospitalized, 546, 25 hospitalized, critical, discharge 404. So the total, I mean, say it's about 1,200 range. So because it does work, and not only for the healthcare professionals, masks and gloves works, also for the population it does work. And, you know, so... I don't understand what the fuss is about. Either you put a mask and gloves or you don't put a mask and gloves. And what is this scarf thing issue with if you don't have it, put a scarf? I mean, what's going on? Why can't they produce masks for the citizens of North America? Go ahead, please.
I don't know why. I don't know why. I know our president here is reaching out to the private sector to produce more masks. That's why in 1950 they had passed that a law here in the United States, given the president that power to be able to go after wherever, whoever's making them. Can they make more? Can they massively make it? And I think that's what they're doing now. The different medical supply places are being approached to do a mass production of things they normally don't make. Now, we can't just throw away the scarves and stuff because back in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, that is what people did. They didn't have all this fancy stuff, but they did have, you know, material. Like, I know my professor, she makes her own homemade mask. She uses some type of cotton thread or whatever type material that where the thread, and it's doubled. It's a double thing that she makes, and she knows that it works. And I respect her opinion only because of her background with her being a microbiologist and a virologist. She's kept up on everything. And she doesn't leave her house without putting that homemade thing that she made. But she seems to know material and all of that kind of stuff, too, goes into play in what she's using. She's not just taking anything and using it. But, see, her knowledge base is much further than mine. I wouldn't know what to use, where she does. And in the old days...
Yes.
they did. If anybody remembers, they put wool scarves and stuff, you know, over their mouth, nose, and ears. And one of my friends said that is what she does, and she says she doesn't get sick on the plane anymore. So it must work. Something works. Or why did they use those things? They didn't just use them for decoration. I don't think so. So we're still learning. People are. I like that there is a concerted effort to come together on a global basis with what's going on, because what's going on here is going on everywhere. It's not, you know.
Absolutely.
You know,
think locally, act globally. Go ahead, please.
This is far worse. You know, I fought the issue on the HIV testing procedure that was wrong globally. But this one is far worse than that. Far worse. I've been on Earth a long time. None of us have ever seen anything like this. We thought Zika virus or the other SARS virus and some of the other things, smallpox. This stuff far outweighs all of those that we've ever seen.
Do you think it's a biological warfare or not?
No, I've heard that, but, you know, no. I'll tell you what I think. Just like the one researcher that I followed, that he wanted to know where the HIV comes from. He was able to follow it all the way back to 1959, found tissue with that same virus that took people's lives. They did nothing. Zika virus is another one. A doctor discovered the Zika virus back in 1946, and he said, we need to follow this one. And they didn't, because he said, if we don't, you're going to have an outbreak like you've never seen before, and they end up having that. So some of these germs, where did they originally come from? But someone did discover it, and you did nothing. Until it was out of control.
Absolutely.
It was back in the 40s that they came out with this stuff. Still, there's always someone out there that knew about it, and we did nothing. How can you have a book about the coronavirus that's 2 years old, and we just said, oh, it just came? How? How did the researchers, what were they looking at? How come nothing was done? So it didn't just appear, and then it spread. No, it's been here. I think of some of the deaths out. There's one actor, what was his name, Bernie Mac. He died in Europe. What did he die of? Pneumonia. And I often wonder, I said, well, did he have AIDS? And I was told, no. And I read everything, nothing about nobody's AIDS. He was healthy, then he gets sick, and he's dead. And I said, I wonder if he had coronavirus. And that was a few years back. You wouldn't have had no testing for the stuff. So when I see strange things happen, but we don't follow it, we do nothing about it, we just say pneumonia. How can you have a healthy person die that quickly? And then there's no questions about it.
Isn't that true that the coronavirus was already exist, like pneumonia is the form of coronavirus, or SARS was the form of coronavirus? Is that true or false?
SARS is a coronavirus. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's not the one that is killing people now. But yeah, SARS is a coronavirus. There's literature on that. I've already read it.
Yes. But this one, it seems, is 1,000 times higher than SARS. Is that true?
Worse. Yes.
Yes.
Much worse. But that's why you think all these countries are all shut down. And people are in their houses. Staying home.
5 billion, right?
Close.
5 billion people.
Huh?
5 billion people. 5 billion people are...
Yeah.
Under mandatory house
shelter. I mean, it's not even over. We haven't even reached our peak. We don't even know what the peak means yet. It ain't going to be pretty, I can tell you that. So, you know, at the same time, and this is my own personal opinion, not anybody else, it seems to be a weak virus because it doesn't just go straight into the lungs. It lands in your throat, that's what we're told, and it sits there for maybe so many days, and then it goes into the lungs. So one of the practices some of us do is we always gargle with the antiseptic or salt and water, and they told us to do that anyway. The military doctor from China, I forgot her name, she's from the military hospital there in China. She said, and she sent this thing out to other physicians because I'm in contact with some of those physicians, so they sent it to me too, to drink hot water with lemon, hot fluid all day. Keep your throat wet. Don't let it dry out. And then another physician said, gargle with the antiseptic or salt and water. So if you can do those few things, and if it's true that that helps, that doesn't sound like a strong virus.
Yes, colloidal silver is very effective too, indeed, especially for decontamination when you come out of, come from outside, you know, to your residence. And also if you have, you know, colloidal silver, 2 teaspoons a day, it will help you a lot. And so, you know, because before antibiotic comes, it was colloidal silver.
You cannot get rid of that easy, but that one you can, but yet it's taking people's lives. I don't know what people's habits are or if all this stuff is true. I know I don't have one friend that's come down with this, not even a family, no one that I know of on a personal basis, yet it's running rampant. So I don't know. That's my personal opinion. And listening to the ones that I have one friend, she's from Asia, and she said their habits is the lemon and hot water already and the teas and hot stuff. And I don't hear anyone in her family coming down with nothing. So, how true all this is. We just have to, you know, I say think outside the box. Do something rather than nothing. And if you don't have some of those habits, maybe start getting some of those habits. And the biggest thing is once you're in your house, you got to wash your hands over and over and over again because you might have brought the virus in with you and don't know it. That's why they keep talking about the clean, because it can stay alive so many hours or so many days. So if you're cleaning constantly, then it's not going to stay alive. I know my daughters, they clean everything that comes in their house, including the groceries. They sound funny, but they do. They're taking no chances. Because you don't know. I know when I leave out, I have my wife, I make my own homemade with the Lysol all-purpose cleaner. I put it in a Ziploc bag with some paper towels, and I saturate it with that, you know, the solution, and I don't touch anything. I use that. I pull it out and wipe.
It's not only
stuff.
You.
Huh?
A lot of people around the globe, same as you, indeed, you do. You try not to touch, but I mean, sometimes you touch it, but so, oh my gosh, and then you have to Purell or other hand sanitizer or. Yeah. Go ahead, please. You're right.
People out. We have to adopt different habits. You know, it may seem like, oh, this is cumbersome. No, it's not. It's your life. And you may not realize how often you touch your face. And they're saying don't touch your face unless if you have gloves on, you can take with your gloves and touch your face. Take that wipe and wipe that glove off and then touch your face. You have to do that now. So these are like all new habits for all of us. We're all fighting that virus that doesn't seem to be I still say it seems to be fragile because it's so easy to kill it before it kills you.
So let me ask you one question for you, Paula. Are you going to think that this last 10 days, they keep saying it's going to be high casualties. What do you think the casualties is going to be in North America, please? If any, I mean.
It's going to be in a million.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
So are you telling that 1 million people will die from until 10 days? Wow.
Yeah. Wait, this is where I look at it. We have 323 million people that live here. And what I began to look at, how many tests have they given? When you say you gave 100,000 tests or a million tests, you haven't even scratched the surface. How are you going to stop that virus? The testing alone is, to me, a huge problem. If the people aren't tested, how do you stop the virus? You can't. You're talking about three. So say you did 2 million tests. You have 323 million people that live here. So is 2 million tests enough? No, it's not. Just do the math. In California, when we look at all of California, there's 33 million people living here. So you do 2 million tests. Have we scratched the surface? The answer is no. You haven't. Hopefully, us staying home will make a difference. The different beaches are closed. The golf course is closed. The different recreation places are closed. You know, where people congregate, you still have those that are hard-headed. You still have churches that are letting lots of people gather, and I don't know how many of their people end up coming down with the virus. Don't make common sense. Maybe they don't believe it. I don't know where that problem is, but it does seem, I do believe with people isolating, that should make some difference, but the biggest problem is you don't know who has the virus because there's no test. And if you have a mild symptom and you overcome it, how many places? And then look at our reporting system. I don't know about yours. If someone went to Disneyland and had measles, do you know it goes all over the news? If you visit Disneyland, make sure to check your child because someone did enter in. Okay, that doesn't happen with this. You don't know how many places the person went. What stores did they go to? So you can alert those places that this person has a coronavirus and they visit your store. That's not done. Our reporting.
Yeah, that's why we have an app. It tells us, it tells the person and pretty much or came to contact with other people. And then we get a message, and then we have to proceed whatever they suppose our distance was to that patient X. Did not follow the rules. So it's very important for the people of the world, because this is a BTR, the global show. Please kindly respect and your people that advisory government and officials. And if they say, if you don't have a mask or a form of mask or form of a scarf on your, nose and throat, because I see a lot of people, we have pictures here, they have a mask, but they don't put it completely over their nose. So it's useless.
Wow.
You will get it. You know, please read the instructions, how to put your mask on, how to keep, and the gloves as well too. You know, many one gloves is not enough for one, maybe one trip that you are making. Maybe multiple stops. Maybe you have to have change it a few times. That's fine. I mean, is your health? Is my health? My health is your health. Thank you very much.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. We always welcome you.
Thank you.
The show is, they're going to stop recording.
Pleasure.
So I'm going to go ahead and close it. We're down. We may come on some more times because we were down to just because of my workload, down to just doing a broadcast on once a month. But with this being a huge crisis, we'll talk about whether we want to do a little bit more, go a little bit further. So just to, you know, enlighten the public on how they can help themselves. And that this is a real crisis, nothing to play with. Okay. Anyway, for anyone that's on the line, normally we do once a month now on a Monday, the first Monday of every month. We'll decide whether we're going to do further broadcasts a little bit more just to update you on this coronavirus crisis that on a global basis we all find ourselves in. And if you ever want to talk, I know some of you just called and you didn't want to talk, but you always call 858-769-4936 and press 1 if you want to say anything. Okay, goodbye. Bye.
Okay, I appreciate you all. Love you. Thank you. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.